今天我们要聊的呢是这个 SpaceX 到底是如何通过可重复使用的火箭技术拉开了跟全球的航天领域的竞争对手10年以上的差距。
Today, we're going to talk about how SpaceX has created a decade-long gap in the global space industry through its reusable rocket technology.
以及如果星舰 V3 真的投入使用之后，
And if the Starship V3 is really put into use,
全球的航天格局会发生什么样的变化？
What changes will occur in the global space landscape?
是啊。
Yes.
这个话题最近很火。
This topic has been very popular recently.
那我们就直接进入今天的讨论吧。
Then let's get straight to today's discussion.
我们先来说说 SpaceX 和全球的其他的玩家在火箭技术的发展上面的时间线。
Let's first talk about the timeline of SpaceX and other players in the development of rocket technology.
那 SpaceX 到底是从哪一年开始就正式的拉开了跟大家的差距呢？
When did SpaceX officially start to create a gap with everyone else?
其实关键的时间点就是2015年的12月21号。
The key time point is actually December 21, 2015.
猎鹰9B, 1019.
Hawk 9 being 1019.
完成了人类首次轨道级火箭一级的陆地回收。
Successfully completed the first ever in-orbit rocket stage landing on land. Well,
这就不仅仅是一个技术的突破。
This is not just a technological breakthrough.
这是一个真正的闭环的验证。
This is a true closed-loop validation.
就是回收。
Recycling.
然后复用，降低成本。
Then reuse to reduce costs.
增加发射的次数。
Increase the number of launches.
再推动技术的迭代。
Promote further technological innovation.
这个闭环一旦跑通之后，
Once this closed loop is running,
就为它之后的10年到15年的绝对领先打下了一个非常坚实的基础。
This provides a very solid foundation for achieving absolute leadership in the next 10 to 15 years.
所以说15年那次回收成功。
Therefore, a successful recovery in 2015.
其实是整个商业模式和技术体系变革的一个起点。
This is actually the starting point of a transformation in the entire business model and technological system.
没错。
Okay.
没错。
Okay.
因为在15年之前。
Because before 2015.
你看2010年的时候猎鹰九第一次飞。
In 2010, the Falcon was the first to fly.
其实还是一个一次性的火箭，跟传统的公司没有什么区别。
It is also just a one-time rocket, and there is no difference from traditional companies.
然后中间13年到15年。
Then, from 2013 to 2015,
它的回收试验其实是连连失败的。
Its recycling experiment was actually a series of failures.
但是它没有停。
But it didn't stop.
他一直在投钱。
It keeps investing.
一直在投钱。
Keep investing.
直到15年这个闭环跑通之后。
Once the closed loop system was successfully implemented in 2015.
16年就实现了海上回收。
In 1666, it achieved sea reclamation.
17年就做到了同一个助推器两次发射。
In 2017, it achieved the same launch twice with the same booster.
然后17年之后，
Then, after 17 years,
猎鹰9就开始高频的复用。
The Falcon 9 has started to be used frequently.
可靠性越来越高。
Reliability is increasing.
成本越来越低。
The cost is getting lower.
这么说的话，
That said,
他们的技术进步和成本降低的速度是不是快到让人难以置信？
Are there technological advancements and cost reductions so rapid that they are unbelievable?
对啊。
Yes.
你看它这个助推器的复用次数。
Look at the number of times this booster is reused.
从最开始的两次。
From the beginning twice.
五次。
Five times.
十次。
Ten times.
一直到现在的十五次。
15 times so far.
然后发射的成本从最开始的每发$1.5亿。
Then the cost of launching was reduced from the initial $150 million per launch.
到现在可能只要$6,200,000每公斤。
Currently, the price may be as high as $620 million per kilogram.
到 LE 的价格已经降到了$2,700。
The price of LR has already dropped to $2,700.
然后年发射量也从几发到现在的20多发。
Then, the number of launches also increased from a few to over 20.
30多发。
30 or so.
他预计到2025年要做到50多发。
It is expected to achieve over 50 shipments by 2025.
已经占据了全球超过一半的商业发射市场。
It has already occupied more than half of the global commercial launch market.
那除了 SpaceX 之外
，Besides SpaceX，
全球其他国家和主要的商业航天公司
，Other countries and major commercial space companies worldwide，
在可重复使用火箭技术方面进展到哪一步了？
What progress has been made in reusable rocket technology?
美国的话，蓝色起源它的新格伦火箭，也是要做一级复用的。
Blue Origin in the United States, its new Glenn rocket also aims to achieve first stage reuse.
但是它的首飞最快也要到2027年。
However, its first flight will not be until 2027.
然后二级的复用还没有时间表。
Then the timetable for the second level reuse has not yet been established.
再就是 ULA 的火神。
ULA's Fire.
它也是一个部分复用的火箭，首飞定在2024年。
It is also a rocket that is scheduled for its first launch in 2024, with some parts being reused.
但是它的这个复用的能力有限。
However, its reusability is limited.
而且成本还是很高。
And the cost is also very high.
然后还有一个火箭实验室。
Then there is a rocket lab.
他们的那个中子号。
Their neutron.
它是一个小型的可复用。
It is a small reusable.
火箭计划是2026年首飞。LE 运载能力只有8吨。
The Long March plan has a launch capability of only 8 tons in 2026.
感觉大家都在追赶。
It feels like everyone is chasing after something.
但是好像跟 SpaceX 的节奏完全不在一个频道上。
But it seems completely out of sync with SpaceX's pace.
你说的很对。
You are right.
然后中国这边的话
Then in China,
国家队是计划在2026年前后。
The national team is planned to be established before or after 2026.
对长征8号的改进型进行一级回收的验证。
Validate the primary recycling of the upgraded Long March 8 carrier rocket.
长征9号的复用方案还在论证。
The plan for reusing the Long March 9 is still under discussion.
首飞也是要等到2030年以后了。
The maiden flight will also have to wait until after 2030.
然后民营的企业像蓝箭航天。
Then private companies like Blue Arrow Aerospace.
他们的朱雀3号。
Their Phoenix 3.
还有星际荣耀的双曲线。
There is also the curve of interstellar glory.
三号都是计划在2025到2026年首飞。
The third one is planned to take off between 2025 and 2026.
并且尝试回收。
and try to recycle.
但是他们的成功率和运载能力也都是比较有限的。
However, their success rate and carrying capacity are also limited. Well,
欧洲的话，阿里安6目前还是一次性的火箭。
Currently, Ariane 6 is still a one-time rocket in Europe.
它的复用型号要等到2030年以后才会有。
Its reusable model will not be available until after 2030.
然后他们的普罗米修斯发动机还在试验阶段。
Then their Prometheus engine was still in the experimental stage.
没有明确的工程化的时间。
There is no specific engineering timeline.
俄罗斯、
Russia、
日本和印度基本都还没有进入到轨道级的复用。
Japan and India have not yet entered the stage of high-frequency reuse.
现在都还是以一次性火箭为主。
Currently, most rockets are still single use.
这么看的话
，From this perspective,
SpaceX 和其他全球的主要火箭玩家，在这个技术迭代的节奏上面
，SpaceX and other major global rocket players are on the same page in terms of the pace of technological iteration.
到底拉开了多大的差距
？How much of a gap?
你看啊
，Up.
SpaceX 是2015年就已经验证了一级火箭回收。
SpaceX has already verified the first stage rocket recovery in 2015.
然后17年就做到了常态化的复用。
Then in 1977, it became a normal practice.
那到2026年
，By 2026,
它就会实现全舰复用。
It will achieve full ship reuse,
并且是百吨级的运载。
And it is a 100-ton class carrier. Well,
那其他的这些国家队到2026年才刚刚要尝试一级火箭回收的首飞，常态化的复用要到2028到2030年，全舰复用加百吨运力。
The other countries will only start to try to make the first stage rocket recovery and reuse in 2026. They will achieve full vehicle reuse and a 100-ton payload capacity by 2028-2030.
可能要到2040年以后了。
It might not be until 2040.
所以就是说，硬技术的差距是在12到15年。
So what I mean is that the technological gap is between 12 and 15 years.
而且这个差距还在加速的拉大。
Moreover, this gap is widening at an accelerating rate.
那为什么说2015年的那次火箭回收的成功？
Why is it said that the successful recovery of the rocket in 2015
就能够让 SpaceX 建立起这么长时间都难以追赶的一个优势呢？
What could allow SpaceX to achieve such a significant advantage that has been difficult for it to catch up with?
这里面到底是哪些深层的体系发生了变化呢？
What deep-seated systems have changed here?
关键就在于 SpaceX 在2015年就彻底的跑通了一条商业。
The key is that SpaceX has completely mastered a commercial route in 2015.
研发、生产、迭代这四个环节完全贯通的一个新的体系。
Zero years, a completely integrated system that covers all four stages. Well,
而这个体系是任何一个传统的航天机构都没有做到的。
And this system is one that no traditional space agency has ever achieved.
包括国家队。那这一套体系让它可以像造汽车一样造火箭。
This system, including the national team's entire framework, allows it to be produced like cars.
不断地去改进。
Constantly improve.
不断地去降低成本。
Continuously reduce costs.
不断地去扩大规模。
Continuously expand.
而其他的那些玩家到现在为止都还是在任务导向和预算分配这样的一个老路上。
And the other players are still on the old path of task-oriented and budget allocation.
所以始终都没有办法形成这样的一个自我强化的闭环。
Therefore, there has never been a way to form such a self-reinforcing closed loop.
原来是这样。
That's how it is.
那接下来我们就来拆解一下。
Now, let's break down the following.
到底 SpaceX 和传统的国家队在商业模式上面有哪些本质的不同？
What are the fundamental differences between SpaceX and traditional national teams in terms of business models?
这些不同又是怎么影响了他们的技术迭代的速度和最终的竞争力的？
How did these differences affect their technological iteration speed and final competitiveness?
首先就是 SpaceX
它其实是一个自用加商业的双轮驱动。
First, SpaceX is a dual-wheel drive, which is both self-use and commercial.
它的那个星链计划
The Starlink plan
不光是自己发射自己用
Not only for self-use, but also for others.
而且到2025年
And by 2025
预计是有$115亿的收入。
Expected revenue of $1.15 billion.
这就直接反哺了他的火箭的研发。
This directly fed back into his rocket development.
相当于他的火箭有一半的运力是自己内部消化掉了。
This means that his rocket has half the carrying capacity of its own. Well.
然后另外他还可以通过低价去抢商业的订单。
Then, it can also grab commercial orders at low prices.
订单越多
The more orders,
它的成本就可以摊得更薄
Its cost can be spread more thinly.
它的迭代速度就可以更快
Its iteration speed can be faster.
所以它就会形成一个越做越便宜
Therefore, it will form the trend of becoming cheaper and cheaper.
越便宜
It's cheaper.
也越有人用
The more people use it
越用就越先进的正循环
The more you use it The more advanced the positive cycle becomes
它根本就不需要政府的持续补贴
It doesn't need government subsidies at all
这么说的话
That said
传统的航天机构是不是就陷入了一个越干越亏越亏越慢的一个困境
Traditional aerospace agencies are trapped in a situation where the more they intervene, the more they lose, the more they lose, and the slower they become.
没错，没错。
Absolutely, absolutely.
因为国家队的话
Because for the national team,
他没有这种大规模的自用的星座
He doesn't have this kind of self-centered personality.
它基本上90%的发射都是靠政府或者军方的订单。
It is basically 90% of the launches are done by the government or military.
而这些订单的量又很有限。
And the quantity of these orders is also limited.
而且价格也不敏感。
And the price is not sensitive. Well,
那它这个可复用火箭的研发就几乎没有什么商业回报。
The development of this reusable rocket has almost no commercial returns.
全靠预算硬撑。
Relying solely on budget.
再加上它的审批流程又很长。
In addition, his approval process is very long.
预算又经常变动。
The budget is constantly changing.
所以它一个技术的迭代可能就要比 SpaceX 慢5到8年。
So, its technological iteration may be 5 to 8 years slower than SpaceX.
然后他始终都跳不出这个成本中心的怪圈。
Then he always couldn't get out of the loop of this cost center.
那研发文化和生产模式的不同。
The differences in research and production models.
会对他们的技术迭代的效率产生什么影响？
What impact will this have on their technical iteration efficiency?
就是 SpaceX 它是一个非常典型的快速试错数据驱动。
SpaceX is a very typical example of rapid prototyping and data-driven approach.
它就是鼓励你去失败。
It encourages you to fail.
你失败了之后
And after the national team,
马上分析数据
I will analyze the data immediately.
然后快速的改进
Then quickly improve.
你看他星舰和猎鹰九早期的时候都是连续爆炸
When you look at the early construction of the New and the Falcon 9, they were all continuous explosions.
连续失败
Continuous failure.
但是它的改进速度是以月为单位的。
However, its improvement speed is monthly.
而国家队的话
And as for the national team,
它是一个零失败的文化。
It is a zero failure culture.
它一次失败可能就会影响你的预算。
A single failure can affect your budget.
影响你的团队的信心。
Affect your team's confidence.
所以他就会非常的保守。
Therefore, it will be very conservative.
然后他的流程会非常的冗长。
Then the process will be very long.
他的一个迭代可能就要三到五年。
One of its iterations may take 3 to 5 years.
原来在 SpaceX 眼里失败。
Originally, it was seen as a failure in SpaceX.
只是一个走向成功的一个中间站。
Just a stepping stone to success.
对。
Okay.
然后生产模式的话
Then if it produces a pattern.
SpaceX 它现在已经是流水线模块化。
SpaceX has now become a modular assembly line.
甚至它用不锈钢这种非常便宜的材料去替代传统的钛合金和碳纤维。
Even if it uses very cheap materials like stainless steel instead of traditional titanium alloys and carbon fiber,
包括它的发动机
shut down its engine,
大量的使用 3D 打印
extensive use of 3D printing,
所以它的星舰可以做到每周一艘的生产节奏
Therefore, its new machine can achieve a production rate of 1 ship per week.
然后猎鹰九也可以年产20多发。
Then the Falcon 9 can also produce 20 or so per year.
而传统的航天它还是单件定制手工打造。
And traditionally, space travel was a single custom-built endeavor.
然后它的发动机可能一年就造个一两台。
Then its engine might only be produced 1 or 2 per year.
所以它这个产能和成本根本就没有办法比。
Therefore, its capacity and cost are completely incomparable.
既然如此
Therefore,
为什么说2015年是这个航天领域的一个分水岭的年份
Why is 2015 considered a watershed year in the field of aerospace?
因为在2015年之前
Because before 2015
大家其实都差不多都是用一次性的火箭
Everyone actually uses disposable rockets
然后彼此之间的技术差距
Then the technological gap between them
也就是在五年以内
Within 5 years
嗯
Well
但是在2015年之后
However, after 2015,
SpaceX 它是彻底的实现了可复用的闭环。
SpaceX has completely achieved reusable closed loop,
快速的迭代
rapid iteration,
以及这种工业化的量产
and this industrial scale production,
而且它是现金流可以自给自足的
and it is cash flow self-sufficient.
而其他的国家队
and other national teams,
他们还是主要在搞一次性的火箭。
They are still mainly focused on developing one-time rockets.
然后研发节奏慢
and develop a slow pace.
生产还是靠手工
whether it is produced or made by hand.
然后资金来源还是高度依赖政府的预算。
Then the source of funds is highly dependent on government budgets.
所以这个差距就从最开始的五年拉大到十年。
So this gap widened from the initial 5 years to 10 years.
现在已经是十五年了。
It's been 15 years now.
而且这个差距只会越来越大。
And this gap will only get bigger.
根本就追不上。
Can't catch up.
到这里，我们再来说一下。
Okay, let's talk about this again.
如果新建 V3 真的成功了之后，
If the construction of V3 is successful,
全球的航天发射市场会变成一个什么样的新格局？
What will be the new landscape of the global space launch market?
SpaceX 会在哪些轨道？
SpaceX will operate in which orbits?
哪些任务上面占据绝对的主导？
Which tasks dominate?
然后其他的国家和商业的公司？
Then other countries and companies?
他们还能守住哪些阵地？
What else can they defend?
到那个时候就是非常明显的一超两强多弱的格局。
At that time, it was very obvious that there was a clear gap between the strong and the weak.
一超肯定就是 SpaceX 了。
One is definitely SpaceX.
它会占到全球近地轨道 70% 以上的运量。
It will account for over 70% of the launch capacity in low Earth orbit.
因为它有星链。
Because he has been practicing.
再加上他外部的一些合作的星链。
In addition to his external collaborations with other constellations.
比如说像亚马逊他们的。
For example, like Amazon and so on.
且它的每公斤的发射成本可以压到$10 to $100，所以。
Moreover, his launch cost per kilogram can be reduced to $10 to $100.
别人根本就没有办法跟他。
It's no use trying to argue with them.
竞争。
这么说的话。
He said that he was competing.
其他国家和公司是不是就只能退到一些边角的市场去了？
Can other countries and companies only retreat to niche markets?
差不多是这样。
Something like that.
那两强就是中美国家队。
The two strongest teams are the Chinese and American national teams.
中国的话主要还是以本土的政府和军方。
The main focus of China is on its own government and military.
以及我们的低轨星座发射为主。
And our low orbit constellation launch is the main one.
商业发射这块很难走出去。
It's really difficult to get into the business of launching.
然后美国的话，虽然说 NASA 还是主导一些深空和登月，但是
Then, as for the U.S., although NASA still plays a leading role in launching and landing on the moon,
是其实主力的承包商也是 SpaceX, 所以
But in fact, the main contractor is also SpaceX.
美国的国家队的商业发射这块也是被严重挤压的。那其他的像欧洲、日
Therefore, the commercial launch business of the U.S. national team has also been severely squeezed, similar to Europe.
日本、印度、
Japan,
印度、
India,
他们就只能守住自己的本土。
They can only defend their own homeland.
偶尔接一些商业的单子。
Occasionally take on some business projects.
但是他们的份额也是在不断的被蚕食的。
嗯。
Because their shares are also constantly being eroded. Well,
然后那些小型的商业公司
then those small commercial companies,
他们就只能在一些细分的小众的市场里面去谋求生存。
They can only seek survival in some niche and small markets.
假如说新建 V3 顺利的服役了。
Suppose that the construction of V3 is completed successfully.
那不同的轨道和不同的任务类型，市场份额会怎么分配？
How will the different tracks and different types of tasks be allocated in terms of market share?
巨型的低轨星座发射这块 SpaceX 基本就是90%以上的市场。
The vast majority of the market for launching large, lower orbit satellites is controlled by a few key players.
因为它的这个运力和成本的优势太大了。
Because his speed and cost advantages are too great.
它的竞争对手几乎没有办法参与。
Other competitors have almost no chance to participate.
所以说在这个大吨位的发射领域已经没有什么悬念了。
So, in this large-scale launch area, there are no more lingering issues.
可以这么说。
In other words,
那在中型的商业发射这块 SpaceX 可能也会拿下 70% 左右的市场。
SpaceX may also capture around 70% of the market for mid-sized commercial launches.
然后中国和 ULA 会分掉 20%。
Then China and ULA will split 20%.
其他的公司再去分剩下的 10%。
The remaining 10% will be divided among other companies.
那小型卫星拼车这块
Regarding this small satellite sharing,
因为星舰不是特别专注于这个领域
Because Starship is not particularly focused on this area,
所以可能 SpaceX 只会占到 40%。
Therefore, SpaceX may only occupy 40%.
然后中国的民企加上像火箭实验室
Then, in addition to Chinese private companies, there are companies like Rocket Lab.
这种可能会拿下 50%。 深空探测和登月、火星任务。
This could potentially achieve 50% ascent and landing capabilities.
那全部都是 SpaceX 的。
It's all SpaceX's.
因为只有它有这个百吨级的全舰复用的能力。
Because only it has the ability to reuse the entire ship at a scale of 100 tons.
那 SpaceX 到底有哪些别人根本就学不来的核心优势？
What are the core advantages that SpaceX has that others can't learn?
它第一个就是成本优势太大了。
The first one is that the cost advantage is too great.
星舰每公斤能够做到10到100美元的发射价格。
The launch cost for a Starship is between $10 and $100 per kilogram.
猎鹰九也才2700美元。
The Falcon 9 costs only $2,700.
但是传统的火箭都是在1.5万美元到5万美元这个区间。
However, traditional rockets cost between $15,000 and $50,000.
所以他直接把这个行业的门槛拉到了别人难以想象的一个程度。
Therefore, he directly raised the threshold of this industry to an unimaginable level for others.
这个价格差确实让人咋舌啊。
This price difference is really shocking.
除了价格之外
Besides price,
它还有什么其他的决定性的优势吗？
What other decisive advantages does it have?
还有就是它的运力，星舰是150吨 LEO, 猎鹰九是22.8吨。
And another thing is that its launch capacity is 150 tons for LEO, while the Falcon 9 is 22.8 tons.
长征五号是25吨。
Chang'e 5 is a 25-ton rocket.
所以它是全球唯一一个有百吨级可复用火箭的公司。
Therefore, it is the only company in the world with a 100-ton reusable rocket.
然后它还有星链这样的一个庞大的自用的星座。
Then there is also a large, self-contained constellation like Starlink.
可以帮它持续的降低成本。
Can help it to continuously reduce costs,
并且扩大它的竞争优势
and expand its competitive advantage.
再加上它的技术迭代的节奏是1年到1年半就可以出一个新版
Plus, its technology iteration cycle is as short as 1 to 1.5 years, so a new version can be released.
但是国家队可能3-5年都很难有一个大的升级。
However, it may be difficult for the national team to make a significant upgrade in 3 or 5 years.
所以它就是在成本、运力。
Therefore, it is about the cost of transportation,
生态和迭代速度
ecology and iteration speed.
这四个方面，全面的碾压对手。
聊完前面的，我们再来说一下最终的理性的结论。
These four aspects comprehensively overwhelm the opponent, and then we will discuss the final rational conclusion.
就是说，为什么2015年的猎鹰九的一级回收成功会成为全球航天新旧体系的一个分水岭？
That is why the successful first stage recovery of the Falcon 9 in 2015 will become a watershed moment for the new and old space systems globally.
这是2015年猎鹰9回收成功之后。
This is after the successful recovery of the Falcon 9 in 2015.
SpaceX 就率先地搭建起了可复用、快速迭代、工业化量产和现金流自给自足的全新的体系。
SpaceX has been the first to establish a new system that enables reusable, rapid iteration, industrial scale production, and self-sufficiency in cash flow.
而全球的国家队和传统的企业
And the national teams and traditional companies around the world,
他们还是停留在一次性火箭、慢节奏研发。
They are still stuck in the slow-paced,one-time rocket development,
手工制造和靠政府预算的老路上
and made and government-funded road construction.
所以他们之间的差距就被锁定在了十年以上。
Therefore, the gap between the two groups has been locked for more than 10 years.
而且随着时间的推移
Moreover, over time,
这个差距只会越来越大。
This gap will only get bigger.
那如果说星舰 V3 真的成功了
What if the Starship V3 really succeeded?
会对全球的航天格局带来哪些不可逆的变化
What irreversible changes will it bring to the global space landscape?
一旦星舰 V3 成功 SpaceX 就会彻底的垄断全球的大运力、升空和巨型星座的市场
If they build V3 successfully, they will completely dominate the global launch and large constellation market.
他会拿下 70% 以上的份额。
He will capture more than 70% of the market share.
并且他会掌握绝对的定价权。
And he will have absolute pricing power.
而中美国家队只能去守住自己国内的政府和军方的需求。
And the Chinese national team can only stay to meet the needs of the government and military within the country.
然后商业发射想要走出去会非常的难。
Then it will be very difficult for businesses to go global.
欧日印和那些小的商业公司
Japan, Europe, and India, as well as small commercial companies,
他们就只能在一些非常细分的小的市场里面去找机会。
They can only find opportunities in very niche and small markets.
基本没有办法和 SpaceX 正面对抗。
There is no way to directly confront SpaceX.
所以说其他国家想要追赶。
So other countries want to catch up.
已经几乎没有机会了吗
It seems like there are almost no chances left.
对。
Okay.
现在就是说哪怕其他的国家现在开始全力以赴的去追赶
Now, even if other countries start to catch up,
他们想要实现全舰复用和百吨级的运力
However, to achieve full ship reusability and a lifting capacity of 100 tons,
最早也是2040年以后的事情了
The earliest and subsequent events occurred in 2040 and beyond.
但是那个时候 SpaceX 很有可能都已经发展到 V6, V7 了。
But at that time, SpaceX was likely to have already developed to V6 or V7.
所以这个差距只会越拉越大。
Therefore, this gap will only get bigger.
全球航天未来十年基本上就是 SpaceX 主导。
In the next 10 years, the global space industry will basically be led by SpaceX.
然后其他的国家队就是守住自己的一亩三分地。
Then the other national teams just defend their own territory.
好的。
Okay.
我们今天从时间线、技术体系。
Today, we will discuss the timeline technology system.
商业模式，再到市场格局。
From business model to market landscape.
完整地梳理了一下 SpaceX 是如何一步一步的。
He organized and clarified the process by which SpaceX achieved its success step by step,
把其他国家和公司远远地甩在上
面 leave other countries and companies far behind.
然后的
行吧
Okay, let's do it.
那这期节目咱们就到这里了
That's all for this episode.
感谢大家的收听
Thank you for listening.
咱们下期再见
See you next time.
拜拜
拜拜
拜拜拜